بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا ما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من قولي والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون صدق الله العظيم. Beloved, respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, and dear listeners, Alhamdulillah, how blessed all of us are to be witnessing the first day of Ramadan. And just like this month came so quickly back, and this year flew by, we need to realize that this month also naturally will also pass by real quick. As we are gathering here on the first day of Ramadan with such outstanding attendance and amazing excitement, everyone is, Alhamdulillah, enjoying the blessings of just welcoming the first day. We need to also realize that just as we are welcoming it, very soon we will also, this beloved guest that has been sent to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be leaving us as well. So we should have this, the sense of countdown from right now. Every day we should start counting how many days left. Don't focus on only what we have, but also look at, if we don't value it, how quickly this is going to diminish. And before we know it, you know, Allah will be gone. So a person, just like we're supposed to constantly be thinking about our death in order to make the most use of our life, similarly, we should also be constantly thinking about the end of Ramadan in order to make the most of the Ramadan that we have. The purpose of it is for a person not to waste a minute or second, but rather to keep himself all the time occupied in something that will be of benefit to him in making the most of this blessed month. This series that we have after Asr this year, as was mentioned, is to discuss a selection of du'as from the Prophet ﷺ, supplication of the Prophet ﷺ, that have a story along with it. And obviously there's too many of them. Just like after Salatul Taraweeh, Mufti bin Hajj is discussing about certain verses of the Quran that have a story with it, what we call Sababun Nuzul. So this year, the brothers thought it would be a beautiful idea to have a discussion on those du'as that also have similarly a background to them being shared with us. And when you know that story, it just becomes more powerful. It becomes easy for us to implement, easy for us to hopefully remember. So today, you know, we'll be speaking about the du'a, the background about du'a's acceptance itself. The Prophet ﷺ has mentioned a hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, as well as Imam Muslim. He says, the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, Inna Allaha tayyibun, Allah is pure, Allah is beautiful, Allah is pure. La yaqbalu illa tayyiban, Allah does not accept anything but that which is pure. So since Allah is pure, He expects that we, whatever we give Him, should be of high quality. How, when a person, and you think of ourselves, if someone comes and gives us food that is rotting, or a gift box that is torn apart, half of it, the perfume is emptied, and it looks like beyond used, and someone gives it to you, says, this is your Ramadan gift. Don't you feel, brothers, that you would rather not receive a gift than a gift like this? You say, if you didn't give me anything, I'd be happy. I don't need to. I don't even know you. Now you bring this to me, which is nothing but, to me, a sign of disrespect. That would you like that someone give you this type of gift? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never be able to attain true piety until you give from that which you love. You cannot give leftovers. You cannot give things that you don't want, you don't like. Yes, I will also mention, لِكُلِّ سَاقِطَةٍ لَاقِطَةٍ, as they say. For everything that's fallen, there's someone who's going to pick it up. It's true. There's a whole industry that runs on recycle products. There's a whole group of this whole economy in certain parts of the world of poor individuals or less advantaged individuals, disadvantaged people, many times shelterless people, homeless people, whose entire livelihood depends on collecting aluminum cans and selling it for, you know, 5-10 cents each. You just threw that can away in the garbage or on the street. But for someone, that's their sustenance, that they take that can and put it in a plastic bag and the garbage bag, and they gather until they have enough bags and they go sell it. So this is something true. That doesn't mean you say, no, I'm going to throw it away, but I'm going to make sure you don't benefit from it. As crazy as that sounds, some people actually have a mentality like this, that not only I'm not benefiting from it, so no other person should benefit from it. Astaghfirullah. A very, I think, evil type of mentality. We should have that whatever I can take, we learn, we benefit from it, and then after that we share with others. So you're not going to give an empty can as a gift to anyone, would you? So we're speaking about giving as a gift. Similarly, old clothes, worn out clothes. You're not going to give this as a gift. But if someone is looking for charity, then fine. When I was in Jordan visiting the Palestinian refugee camp, I saw huge, yani when I looked at the kids in the refugee camps, the clothes they're wearing, they're all the clothes that we wear here. These are all American brand clothes, the kids that you see, you know, clothes that you'd see people wearing. And I was like, oh wow, when they do these clothes collections, this is where it's going. It's actually going somewhere. You're thinking that, man, I already wore this short shirt or pants 7-8 times. Now, I need new style, throw this away. We're just doing that. Many people do that, right? Or a big chunk of the people do that. I mean, then some others, they wash it, fold it, and donate it. That which you and I thinking that, who's going to benefit from it? There's actually someone who really needs it, who doesn't have a shirt. If you remember, I was sharing with you my reflections from Malawi. And I was saying that my colleague, Malana, who was there, a friend, he was talking about his childhood. He said his dad used to have 2 shirts. He said, that's it. And he said, I had no shirts. So he said, you cannot go to school without shirt. Think about that. How are you going to go bare-chested to school? So he said, I used to borrow my dad's shirt, which used to be double my chest. With this huge loose shirt, I used to go to school. And then as soon as I come home, I take it off and give it back to my dad. Wallahi, he told me this on this trip. So think about someone who's so close to me, is a great classmate of mine, friend of mine. This is his own lifestyle, his own childhood. And there are thousands of people who are still living like that. I would say millions of people still have that. What is the value of one shirt in our eyes? What's the value of one pant, one shawl, one jacket, one pair of gloves? So these things are really valuable. Even if you use it, give it away in charity. It's not a gift per se, it's sadaqah. As long as it's nice and cleaned and folded up or, you know, presented in a nice manner. But there are people overseas and maybe even in this country who would do anything to have something like that. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the most pure of beings, the most sublime of beings. And now imagine, of course Allah does not need sadaqah. Allah doesn't need sadaqah. So now we are going to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a gift. That gift has to be of high quality. That's what the hadith is saying. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ And Allah has ordered the believers that with which He has ordered the prophets. Meaning the expectation Allah has from the prophets, that is the expectation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has from the believers. That's the status of a believer. فقال, hence Allah has said in the Quran, يا أيها الرسل, O messengers, كلوا من الطيبات, eat from those things which are pure. Not just halal, but along with halal, they are of high quality. Not saying expense here. I'm saying they should be as natural as possible. I was, you know, wanting to highlight that the reason, many of the reasons why we do not feel like doing our ibadah, do not feel like doing dua, and feel a lot of laziness. People say, I can't stand up for 10 rakats, 8 rakats, this is too much, I'll do 4. That same person will be standing behind a counter for 8, not 8 rakats, for 8 hours, and 9 hours. And you ask, his wife asks, did you eat lunch? Oh my God, I forgot. I completely just slipped my mind. Forget about Dhuhr, Asr. I haven't even prayed. I haven't eaten lunch. This is the normal American life of people hustling and working and working. And they forget about sleep. They forget about everything else. They forget about food. But on the other hand, a person he comes and he says, after 6 rakats, I'm too tired. 8 rakats, I'm too tired. Oh my God, that 15th rakat was so long. Shaykh Saab, look at today, today you ended Tarawih 3 minutes later. Today you ended Tarawih 7 minutes later. All of this chit-chat that happens in masajid, it just tells us we are spiritually very weak. The one who is spiritually strong, he will wish that the adhan, the salah continues, and that he can continue to enjoy the recitation of the Quran. And the recitation of the Quran, the reason you enjoy it is not only because the qari has a very beautiful voice. Instead, the main reason you're going to enjoy it is because you know it's Allah's speech that is directed towards you. That's why you love it. That's why you like it. It's shifa. You're listening to it and say, Ya Allah, purify all my spiritual, physical diseases as I listen to this tarawiyah. You're saying, Ya Allah, Allah, the nur of each verse of this to penetrate into my body. And then if the qari has a good voice, that's nurun ala nur. That's great. Otherwise, it will what we call entertainment for the ears. This is not what the Quran has been revealed for us to simply enjoy someone's melodious tone. It needs to be recited with conviction. We need to hear it with conviction that this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you wonder why we feel lazy at times standing up in prayer, doing dua, doing extra few rakats of tahajjud. One big reason, my friends, is not because you're physically weak. We are very, mashallah, many of us are very physically strong. The reason is that which we feed our body with. The food that is going into our body, it might either be haram, or if it is halal, it is not tayyib. And when it's not tayyib, then it will not produce the results that you would want. Because food is like the fuel for the body. Not only physically speaking, or, you know, fuel for the body, I'm talking about spiritually as well. The higher the quality of food, higher the quality I'm speaking about, the higher it is in staying away from anything that is doubtful, the greater the outcome is going to be. You've heard of the Salaf who would sit at times and go visit ulama, and they would sit in the scholars' home eating. And at times, there's the incident of Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, if I remember correctly, famous, very famous incident, of him eating more than you would expect. And the host's children are shocked that this great Imam, he's come to our home, and we know that true people of deen, true scholars, true imams, and true anyone, believers, that they are not gluttons. You know, they are not overeating. They don't live to eat. They eat as much as they need to. And this sheikh, he keeps on eating. That's weird. And then also the fact that they had put water of wudu outside of his room because he was resting there. So for him to do wudu for tahajjud and fajr. And when they went for fajr, when the children saw the sheikh come out, wake up in the morning, they saw that the jug of water had not been used. So now the thought came, is that Allahu Akbar, he ate so much, and he also never got up for tahajjud. Okay? He never got up for tahajjud. What kind of sheikh is this? So afterwards, he was questioned, but what happened? The kids are saying, you ate also a lot, you didn't use the tahajjud water, or wudu. So the response he gave, he said, when I came to your house, the amount of... Okay, don't you guys start using these stories now. Okay? All of us are going to say, I can't use this story, you shouldn't use this story. Unless you're someone super, super, super special like this Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, and Imam Hanifa, Imam Malik, and the elders of the past. He said, when I sat to eat, I saw there was so much nur emanating from that food. And I was not eating with the focus of the carbs and the proteins. I was eating because I really wanted this nur to come into me. And then as for me not using the water, it's that I was so spiritually uplifted from the food, I didn't sleep the entire night. And in that one night, I sat in your house, and alhamdulillah, Allah opened up my mind, and I was able to deduce 200 new solutions to problems from the Quran. 200 new masail. 200 new masail, alhamdulillah, I was able to deduce from the Quran. So this is my story. So my point is, absolutely pure food has its own powerful effect that we don't know. That's not found in the restaurant food. You could be the most amazingly hand-slaughtered food, but if you've got music playing in the restaurant, if you've got non-Muslims that are touching the food or cooking the food, if you've got Muslims who are not in the state of Tahara, it's going to go notch down compared to a person who's constantly doing dhikr. You know, I remember I went to one home and I said, I already ate. This is a real story. I already ate, so jazakallah. I said, no, my wife prepared food. And I said, may Allah reward you, this is really not necessary. And then after the husband says, brother, listen, you don't know my wife. My wife, when she prepares food, she's in the state of wudu. And until from the beginning till the time the food is served, the entire time she's in a state of dhikr. This food is not some restaurant food. This is food that's not only cooked with love, but it's cooked with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm like, okay, I can't say no to this. Right? This is the blessing. Another brother, I went to his house in Mumbai, mashallah. He insisted I eat. I said, no, I'm okay. He said, no. Then after that, he told me. He named to me every scholar you can imagine from Indo-Pak that ever flew through Mumbai or went to Mumbai. He said, this takht right here, this little, you know, platform that you're sitting on, these ulama all have sat. From those from Pakistan who ever visited India, and any Indian scholar who flew out of Mumbai, he said, they sit here. From the last meal that Mufti Saeed Paramphuri rahmatullah had before he went to hospital, to Mufti Taqi Uthmani from Pakistan, and Maulana, you know, Zulfiqar Saab, and Maulana Tajib Musa, you know, all my teachers from South Africa, all sat here. I said, okay, brother, bring it on. I'm going to sit here, no problem. I'll sit as long as you let me sit. And then after I finish, subhanAllah, just imagine. He said, this is my wife, my daughter-in-law, my sister, and my daughter-in-law, my wife together, they sit and cook for all these ulama. And he just went through the list from Maulana Alimi Anadwi to, you name it, Qari Tayyib, and you, there's no one left. I'm like, it's an honor for me to be sitting here. He said, because they know with what ikhlas and sincerity the women of this house cook. It's like a third floor, no elevator, you got to go up the stairs, all the way to the top. The house is probably 1,000 square foot apartment. The area we're actually eating, maybe 150 square feet maximum, 100 feet. It's a small tight place. But then you wonder, what did the ulama see in this house? What did the ulama see in this little dining room that is, you know, that's got no tables, that's got nothing fancy about it? What did they see in this house and in the cooking of this lady and the sincerity of her husband, that they would go up, even if they're sick, three flights of stairs to come eat here? These are things that you and I are so weak, we can't sense these things. That's what I'm trying to say. When someone says, brother, your face, mashallah, has got a lot of nur on it. You got to flip, don't fall for this. You're going to say, wait, what do you, you have a nur sensor? This is Vaseline, brother. This is Nivea cream. What is this? But what happens when people say, I see nur on your face, you have to have something to be able to see nur on someone's face. Right? You feel what I'm trying to say? A lot of times people see nur. I want to get married to so-and-so. Why? Because I see so much nur on her face. That's not nur. That's called nurani waswasa. Right? That's a waswasa given in the form of nur. We shouldn't fall for these type of things. So subhanAllah, I'm giving you this amazing story of this brother who hosted us. He said, every scholar who comes to my house from the 90s till now, after they finish eating, you have to pay for it. I said, what do you pay? He said, we have this big, thick parda, this screen between the kitchen and the place to sit. He said, every scholar comes and sits on this chair. And then they give some advice and dua to my family. Oh, look at how people think. So I was like, man, I can't do that. Imagine, these are people I should be getting advice from who've been cooking for the most senior ulama in the past 30 years. I said, no. There's no chit-chat, by the way. There's no, salamu alaikum, maulana, how are you? It's so nice of you to come. None of that stuff. You do not hear the voice of the women at all. They sit there, and we know the husband says they're sitting. Please come and give. Yes. Please come and give, you know, a nasiha. So whatever Allah put in my heart that time, I shared. But I want you to understand that this is what's called tayyib food. This is what we should serve people. This is what we should look for. That we cook our food with dhikr. We cook our food with wudu. We cook and serve our food with sincerity and love. And then a person who simply eats that food, he will change. All those who are in the restaurant business. When Sayyid Ahmad Khan rahmatullah alayhi told one person, he said, Maulana, I'm going to open up a restaurant in Medina. What do you say? He says, good. You'll make money. This, that, fine.
But just make one intention, that I am making and cooking food and opening up this restaurant to be able to serve the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. So you can still make money, but your intention is that I am making high quality food, good food. I want to be able to give people something that will satiate them, that tastes good. But I'm doing this extra love because they're the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That will just add so much more barakah in your business. So we need to try to, similarly, when we have guests at our home or we go somewhere else, keep these things in mind, that the fuel for action is food, the quality of the food. The more dhikr and dua, the better. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Ya ayyuhar rasul, O prophets, Allah is ordering us to follow what the prophets have been ordered to. Kulu min at-tayyibat, eat from that food which is the most pure. Wa'malu saliha, and then do good deeds. This is the link. That the tawfiq and the ability to stand up for long tahajjud salah and long taraweeh is going to come from where? From the halal food. Not overeating downstairs or overeating at a party. Then you'll fall asleep. But eating that which is tayyib is what's going to motivate us to be able to stand up. This is the connection. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Allah says, indeed, I am very well aware of what you do. And then another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi, this is all hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from, مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Eat from the good things that we have provided from you. Don't eat garbage. So dear youngsters and children, please do not eat useless, unhealthy snacks that whose ingredients we cannot pronounce, we cannot spell, and we have absolutely no idea what they are made out of. Unbelievable, disgusting things. They're using what? You know, secretions from insects, secretions from all sorts of... One time someone offered some coffee, I think so. I said, oh, it's very expensive coffee. I said, what is it? He said, this is, you know, gone through a process. You know what I'm talking about? The process. Some of you know what this type of coffee was. What the name of the coffee? I don't remember. But there's no non-espresso. It was some high-level coffee that the process is a specific cat somewhere in the world that ingests it and then it comes out the other way. And then they collect that. And then this is what's used for this super-duper expensive high-level coffee. How is this tayyib, man? You get what I just said? Right? So this artificial junk that snacks, that so-called snacks, this is, we need to cut it out. We need to honestly, in Ramadan, let's make this niyyah. All of us, say inshallah. If you can't pronounce it, you don't know what it means, and it's got like 60 items in there, don't eat it. All those processed foods. We need to divorce ourselves from processed foods. You want to eat something sweet? Make it at home with 4 ingredients instead of 40 ingredients and throw it in the freezer. And then after 6 months later, you're baking it and eating it. There's nothing good out. That's not tayyib. We have no idea what we're eating. And that's probably one of the very big reasons, besides the excessive amount of diseases and sicknesses we're suffering from, that there is such a decay in spirituality because of what we're eating. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَذَكَرَ رَجُلًا. And then Rasulullah mentioned a man, يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ. He makes a very long journey. When you travel long, what happens? You get the mercy of Allah. You're in a bed, you're alone, no one's hosting you. You're alone in the desert or in the jungle. Long travel. Ash'atha aghbara. You've got, your hair is disheveled. You've got dust all over your body. Someone looks at you and says, oh, come, let me call you in, give you a shower, give you clothes, give you some food. They feel sympathy for us. Similarly, this man, he looks such that you would feel bad for him. Then what happens? Yamuddu yadahu ila sama. He extends his hand towards the sky. And he says, ya Rab, please, ya Allah, please, ya Allah. Meaning another human being, if you were to look at him, he would sympathize with him. He would empathy. He would have empathy for him. There's no one who's got more sympathy and empathy than Allah. And Allah looks at this person, he sees this man say, ya Rabbi, ya Rabbi. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, wa mat'amuhu haram. What he eats is haram. Wa mashrabuhu haram. What he drinks is haram. Wa malbasahu haram. And what he wears is from haram income. Or it's inappropriate dressing. It's see-through. It's tight. It doesn't cover his satar, etc., etc. It's haram. Clothing is haram. Food is haram. Drink is haram. وَخُذْيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. His body has been nourished with haram food. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابَ لِذَلِكَ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابَ لِذَلِكَ. How will that dua ever be accepted? That dua is never getting accepted. Because from top to bottom, he's in haram. So this is the story that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. This is the reason why I mentioned it today here. This is an introductory discussion that our food, our eat and drinking, our income needs to be halal if we want our du'as to get accepted. Now, if we're listening to this right now, we say, brother, I have ingested haram food. I've drunk haram things. My clothes are not appropriate. And my income is not halal. Well, guess what? You make tawbah. Repent and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through the barakah of that repentance, Allah will accept our future du'as as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for myself and all of us here to become people of taqwa when it comes to everything, but especially what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us all from doubtful wealth, doubtful food. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to stay away from all sorts of processed foods and artificial foods, and allow us to stick to that which is tayyib, which is halal and that is healthy and wholesome. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who are blessed to eat from that food which is cooked with dhikr and with dua, and allow us to bring this etiquette within our own homes, that we also cook and serve with love, as well as the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All those mothers, fathers, young children and adults who are preparing for iftar in their homes all across the world, this is something. You have to be in the kitchen an hour before maghrib or half hour. Please use this time to listen to something beneficial and do dhikr as you're doing it. Do salawat. I know you might not be, if you're not hafiz, you might not be able to read Quran, or you can read Yasin Sharif or something, but keep your tongue busy while you're preparing the food, and lots of barakah will come. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanallah, bihamdi, inshallah, la ilaha illa, nastaghfir wa atubu ilayk. We will, inshallah, engage in some dhikr and dua. We request all the brothers here in the masjid to please proceed downstairs for iftar. And inshallah, I will start from here so that you all have, there's no delay, inshallah, in the breaking of the fast as well. So please proceed downstairs now. Jazakallah khairan. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام وتبارك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا احد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد اللهم يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والارض يا ذا الجلال والاكرام والعزه التي لا ترام سبحان الله وبحمده عدد خلقه ورضا نفسه وزنه عرشه ومداد كلماته اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا حتى ترضى ولك الحمد حمدا إذا رضيت اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث برحمتك نستغيث اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم رحمتك نرجو فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين واصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبوء لك بنعمتك علي وأبوء لك بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت اللهم يا حي يا قيوم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم إنا نعوذك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن نفس لا تشبع اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همومنا وغمومنا وسائقنا إلى جناتك جنات النعيم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم إنا نسألك توفيق أهل الهدى اللهم إنا نسألك توفيق أهل الهدى وأعمال أهل اليقين وأعمال أهل اليقين وأعمال أهل اليقين اللهم يا حي يا قيوم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخير الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور. اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. اللهم ربنا لا تجعل فتنة للظالمين. اللهم ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين. اللهم ربنا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من قوم الكافرين. اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي فيها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا، وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا، وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي فيها معادنا، واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير، واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر. Oh Allah, we ask you to accept our first fast. Oh Allah, we ask you to allow every single fast to be done in a manner that is pleasing to you, in a manner that is consistent with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, make our fast such that not only are we fasting from external things, but also fasting from internal things. Oh Allah, allow our hearts and our eyes and our ears and our hands and our feet and every limb of our body to fast from that which is disliked and that which is prohibited in deen. Oh Allah, make it easy for all of us to cultivate ruhaniyah and spirituality through the barakah of this month. Oh Allah, make it easy for all of us to bring a transformation within our lives. Oh Allah, we ask you to make it easy for all of us to identify and or to be able to get help in identifying what our own individual flaws and faults are. And oh Allah, allow every single one of us to be humble enough to work on implementing such things that will help them to get rid of those flaws. Oh Allah, we ask you to grant all of us cure from any physical, spiritual, emotional well-being, any diseases that will affect our well-being. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, to have mercy upon all those across the world who are going through any type of difficulty. Oh Allah, all those who are suffering famine, all those who are suffering civil war, all those who are suffering external enemies. Oh Allah, all those who are suffering, ya Allah, non-curable diseases. Oh Allah, those who are suffering the absence of a home and absence of food. Oh Allah, we ask you to have mercy on all these huge sections of the ummah. Oh Allah, allow us to feel empathetic and sympathy towards these brothers and sisters of ours across the globe who are not as fortunate as we are. Oh Allah, allow us to continue to be engaged in your shukr and gratitude throughout every single day of our life. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, to unite the ummah wherever they may be. Unite our hearts. Oh Allah, allow us to be focused on the way forward. Oh Allah, allow us to be focused on helping one another. Oh Allah, ya Allah, allow Islam to rise all across the globe and allow people to see the beauty of this deen in this era of fitna. Oh Allah, allow people to see value in the deen. Oh Allah, allow the children to be able to see value in the deen. Oh Allah, allow our children and our youth as well as our adults to reaffirm the conviction in the book, in your book. Oh Allah, allow our conviction yaqeen to become stronger in the book of Allah, in your book, ya Allah. Oh Allah, reward our parents, our spouses, our children, our siblings, and all those who became a means of us reaching here. Oh Allah, anyone who's assisted us anyway, anywhere throughout life, we ask you to reward them in full for their efforts. Oh Allah, we ask you, Allah, to those of us who've lost our parents and grandparents and our elders, fill their graves with nur and become pleased with them. And ya Allah, those whose parents are alive, we ask you, Allah, to allow us to serve them and earn our jannah by serving them. Oh Allah, whoever has any type of need, who's sitting here, who's listening here, oh Allah, listening from wherever, we ask you, Allah, to fulfill all of our spiritual needs, all of our physical needs, all of our emotional needs, all of our financial needs. Oh Allah, grant us complete shifa from the sicknesses that we're suffering from. Oh Allah, we ask you to, by the end of this month, oh Allah, allow all of us to be able to transform ourselves into that amazing being that you want us to be. Oh Allah, we ask you to make all of us dedicated in our taraweeh, in our qiyamul layl, in our tahajjud, in our daily dhikr and dua, in the recitation of Quran. Subhanallah wa hamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. سبحان الله وحمده سبحان الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء أن تغفر لي. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
ذهب الظمأ وابتلت العروق وثبت الأجر إن شاء الله اللهم لك صمت وعلى رزقك أفطرت الحمد لله الذي أعاني فصمت ورزقني فأفطرت اللهم لك صمنا وعلى رزقك أفطرنا فتقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم